ACEC webinars provide a wide-ranging spectrum of business management expertise designed to keep engineering firms operating at their peak efficiency for peak success. No matter the size of the firm or its primary discipline, ACEC webinars are your best source for comprehensive business management education. Go to www.acec.org/education and click on online classes for more information.
Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. Today, we are very pleased to be joined by Michael Cooper. He is the president of HED Design out of Southfield, Michigan. We had Mike on the program a few months ago to talk about leadership. And of course, that was a very different world that we were living in at the time. Now we find ourselves in a socially distanced, remote work-focused pandemic, which changes the way that leaders lead their firms, especially when they can't physically be there with their teams. So having Mike on to talk about this and really how to approach it and how do you deal with it is a really important topic. So Michael, thank you so much for coming back on the show, and hopefully you're safe, healthy, and remote.
Thanks for having me back. Yes, happily, we are safe, we are healthy, we are remote, and like a lot of people, we are working through our circumstance as best as we can, hoping that we get through it quickly.
Yeah.
And painlessly, that's for sure.
How's it been with your firm to go from your day-to-day normal operation to this new reality that we're living in? Was it an easy switch? Did you already have a lot of remote working going on, or was it a completely new thing?
No, I think the answer is yes and yes. We did have a lot of remote working going on. We've got projects running all over the country. We have people who are traveling routinely between our office locations. And so there's a base level amount of remote work, travel and such that is always happening and probably been increasing for us. And then once we were in this situation, I think like a lot of people, we were forced with having to go to a virtually 100%, remote work environment, overnight. And I'm happy to say, our people were able to adapt to that very quickly. The technology was in place to be able to support that. And in talking to my peers at other firms around the country, I'm hearing a similar story, and maybe it's simply chalked up to, it seems it's probably easier to do these kinds of things than it seems when you don't have any other options. And I think for most of us, we really didn't have other options as it became apparent that working remote and staying home was going to be the way to protect our people. That's just what you have to do. You have to find a way to do it.
Yeah, it's just being forced to adapt. And, you know, that creates a lot of opportunity for creativity, finding workarounds, and just making it happen. And that's what happened to us. I mean, as an organization, ACEC is very, focused on physically being there. We have a very tight-knit group in the office. And to go from one day essentially coming into the office to the next day going to centralized, it was a shift. And it worked because we had no other choice. But it does, after a while, you get caught into this Groundhog Day kind of thing. And I know one of the things that you always talk about is looking at that big picture from a leadership perspective. It's that whole idea of you can't be focused on the day to day. You still got to get that big picture view. And what are your thoughts about what a leader should do to stay focused on the big picture?
Yeah, I think you've got to start with identifying some core principles that are going to ground you and that you're going to use moving forward. There's no playbook for a global pandemic where almost overnight we see the revenue drop. We see our customers having difficulties, projects going on hold, and the economy really struggling. And so, you know, for me, you start out with the understanding that safety remains and is always job one. You know, you talked about people before we were in this circumstance. You know, our success, the success of our organizations is driven by people. And I will tell you that through this circumstance that we're currently in, the same holds true. And let's begin by saying that the safety of our people, the health of our people is going to remain job one. And then we've got to look at two things, and we've got to look at them simultaneously. We've got to look at the current situation. We have to look at today. And we've got to find a way to work together to get through, let's say, the next 4 to 6 months. You know, we know that we've got to safeguard the physical and the psychological safety of our people. We've got to help them get through this stance, because there's a lot of anxiety being created here, whether it's financial anxiety or job stability or health anxiety, or the anxiety of being at home with a young family when school is suspended. Whatever that is, we've got to be paying attention to our folks. We've got to be working to position our firms to weather the storm and to come out on the other side. I think in the short term, we're looking at cash flow impacts as we try to weather revenue reductions. And so we've got to be looking at how we can position us and make it through this circumstance so we can get back doing what it is that we do. And then we've got to find ways of minimizing the impact of this to our staff.
Yeah.
We've made huge investments as organizations in our people. The CARES Act and the stimulus initiatives that the federal government has rolled out are and will continue to be very helpful. Mm-hmm. To our companies, and we've got to work to make sure we're taking full advantage of that and doing everything in our power to try to get through this, try to get through it safely, and try to get through it, you know, minimally impacting our people. And then while we're doing that, we've got to remain committed to the mission of the organization. We will get through this. And we have to be thinking about the future and thinking about how we position our firms so that when we do get through it, yeah, we are prepared for what the markets will look like then and what our firms will look like. And because things are going to change.
Yeah.
And we've got to be prepared to get back to business, but get back to business and potentially a new or modified marketplace, a new reality for us.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, everybody's kind of in this area of uncertainty together, because we know that there's going to be a change. We know this is going to end. It can't go on forever. But the world that we'll walk into after this is over is going to be quite different from the one that we had just a few months ago. The market's going to be different. The marketplace, the demand, the focus is going to be different. And having that focus on mission of an organization is very important, because as people are working decentralized and remotely, they still have to be driven by that organizational mission. And at the same time, they're also working in a different way, because the way that they work is just fundamentally changed. It's not just physical distance, but it's also the fact that work is omnipresent, because it's right there at your doorstep. It's either in an office or your living room or kitchen table. Time frames are different. Challenges are technology focused, but not the question of work-life balance. All those things get thrown into the mix. As a leader, how do you manage that? How do you address that and try to get your people still focused on mission, but still effective in getting that mission accomplished?
Well, I think we start out. Let's start out by understanding, you know, sort of where we are and how work has changed for us now, right? So, remote work is now the rule, not the exception. And so we've got to make sure that we understand what impact that has to our staff, to our partners, our contractor partners, our clients. The greater reliance on technology, says that we've got to, adapt to what always has been in-person activities. And in our world, in design and in engineering, you know, planning of projects and quality assurance have always been things that we get together and do. So now we've got to rely on our infrastructure, and that means enhanced security and redundancy, greater reliance on the cloud. We've got to address challenges that are not solved through technology. You know, like I said before, schools are closed. So what do you do for folks who are home because their kids are not in school? And even if the stay-at-home orders are relaxed, that doesn't solve all of those problems. So we're going to have to look at a more flexible environment. What we're seeing now is project work, perhaps it's being done out of sequence, right? If field activities are when we can still advance projects, but we have to do it in a different way. The way that we worked through tasks and projects previously is not necessarily the way we're doing it today. And then you brought up something which I think is really important, which is work-life balance. When your work and your life are happening in the same place, it is hard to have balance. And so we've got to set expectations for people to help them, because it can't be, you know, that work, it happens, you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight. Because your computer happens to be open and it happens to be right there on your dining room table, or, you know, when you're walking by every 30 minutes, we've got to help people through that. So, Jeff, step one for me is let's build priorities as a leader. Let's build some priorities for ourselves. And as I said before, we're going to start out with safety first and make sure we're focused there. And then let's make sure we're educated, excuse me, as firm leaders. Are we looking at what's being put out by the World Health Organization, by the CDC, so that we understand what is happening with the situation, which is evolving? But let's make sure we're being decisive, because things are changing quickly. We need to make decisions. We need to move on to the next thing. And these are all things, I think, that lead directly to your question of how we help our staff. Taking care of our company and ensuring our future viability, prosperity, or relevancy is one of the best ways that we can take care of our staff. And so, understanding the macro implications for the business, for the market sectors, as I said, and this is going to change things. And let's make sure that we're understanding what forces are acting on our business, both internal forces and external forces. You know, as an example, the construction industry and what's happening there is greatly impacting what's happening in the design industry. You know, we're not a construction company, but I can tell you that what's happening out there with construction companies is impacting us. So it's important that I'm aware of it and I understand it. I said earlier, you know, build a plan to get through the next 4 to 6 months, yeah, and follow it week to week like it's a project. This is, you know, the most crucial time for our organizations. And so we've got to make sure that we navigate this period so we get back to doing what it is that we do. And then now we start to transition into, okay, so for our teams, let's make sure, number one, we're leveraging our teams. All of us are smarter than any of us. And so let's communicate our plans and let's make sure that there's buy-in so that they feel like they're owners of the plan and they're stakeholders, because ultimately it's our people that will drive the plan. Any plan that we put together is going to be driven by the individuals. And so let's make sure that our individuals, that our staff is on board. Let's make sure they understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. Make sure we're over-communicating. In a world like we're in today, you can't over-communicate. You be positive, but be realistic. Credibility is everything right now, because there's so much out there being delivered to people. There's so much news and so much chatter, so much commentary. Our staff has to trust that what we're delivering to them is the honest, current, latest information that is available. Again, so that they feel part of what's happening and they can help us navigate this. And then for leaders, one of the big things that we forget is we have to manage ourselves. We feel stress. We have the same work-life balance other people have. We need to stay focused. And if we don't take time out of our day, if we don't exercise and we don't get outside and walk around the block and we don't take a minute to get away, then we're not going to be effective at our jobs either.
Yeah.
We talk about this with our staff. We've got to also remember this when it comes to ourselves. We don't do anybody any good if we're strung out and we're running on no sleep, caffeine, trying to do everything. It's you know, we've got big responsibilities, but we've got to take care of ourselves to make sure that we can do those things successfully.
Absolutely.
And I effectively. Mean,
yeah, that like yeah. you said, there is no guidebook for this. There's no playbook that says this is how you manage during a pandemic when you have not only the work disruption of not physically being able to be there, but then also this greater, you know, overarching threat of this pandemic kind of looming over everyone's heads, and everybody has their own reaction to that. And that all kind of feeds in to the day-to-day work life and then the, you know, the personal life. And it's interesting because, you know, as a president of a firm, you have a whole umbrella of challenges and concerns that you have to deal with on a daily basis. And a vice president or even a manager who is, you know, now in charge of a team, has a number of direct reports, is, you know, the client lead on some projects, you know, they might not have the benefit of experience of going through a trauma like this. What are some of the top line things that you would recommend or you would give advice to someone who is in a early leadership role and has to deal with this? both, you know, we kind of addressed the team, but almost managing up of setting expectations, talking to firm leadership, and just making sure that, you know, they're adequately meeting their responsibilities in this time we find ourselves in.
So, yeah, advice to them, you know, number one, boy, a heck of a time to take on a new leadership role. But it's vitally important. I would start, you know, by understanding how vitally important those supervisors are right now, because the engagement, keeping our people engaged, keeping them feeling like they're part of the organization, we're continuing to move forward when we feel so isolated, is so vitally important to our ability to continue to serve projects and clients. So the top line things you tell the newer supervisors, number one, communicate up, tell us what you need. Tell us what's going on at ground level from your perspective. Let's make sure we're talking about this. Let's make sure we're talking about it if necessary every day, so that number one, they feel like we care about what they're doing, their people, and them, and what they're going through, and so. Number one is if in managing up, you've got to communicate, and let's make sure we're talking. And then, and secondly, you know, there's this notion of truth to power. You've got to be truthful. If there are issues, you gotta speak up and you gotta talk about them so we can solve them. In any world, issues don't get easier to solve as time goes by. But right now, in this circumstance, nothing can fester. We've got very little room to retreat right now. And so if there's an issue, we've got to jump on it right now. And my advice there would be, you know, be as transparent and honest as we can be. And if there's an issue, let people know there's an issue. And let's talk about how we resolve that issue so that we can move on to the next one. And then the last thing I would say is make sure that you are engaging your staff every day, reaching out, you know, getting groups of people together, reaching out to them. And this is especially true perhaps for the younger, for the newer staff to the organization. They don't know as many people. They're not as knowledgeable about the company, and they're going to feel more isolated than others will be. And reaching out to those folks in particular will, and making sure that they feel like they're still a part of the organization and we're still thinking about them and we care about them, will pay big dividends down the line, because those folks, while learning today and building their knowledge base today, you know, those are going to be the leaders of our firms tomorrow.
Yeah. Those are the three bedrock kind of qualities of leadership and, you know, communication, transparency, and engagement. And they're important every day, but more so in a crisis. And it all boils down to that. It's just being open, telling your people what it is and you know, how things are, and then being open to hear their concerns and being engaged with your team. And then also the leaders of the firm that you report to. Those, you know, it's kind of interesting because it's fairly, you know, like I said, it's the building blocks is kind of the basic thing. It's just, it reinforces how important those building blocks are, because they just get amplified in a situation like this.
Jeff, in times like this, you go back to the fundamentals, blocking and tackling, and you'd be amazed at how far a personal phone call to just say, "Hey, how are you doing? I was thinking about you." How much that means to people when they're not seeing their coworkers and they're feeling a bit isolated and they're worried about the circumstances that are at play. Those fundamental things, they mean a lot right now. And I think if we get those things right, we end up with a team of people that are all pulling in the same direction, working us through the circumstance we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. So let's I guess flip the coin and talk about, since we've already covered kind of the firm side, the employee side, let's talk about the client side. You know, they're having their own issues. They're having their own challenges in dealing with the pandemic. How would you suggest a firm right now deal with client expectations, client communication, the critical things that need to happen to keep the business afloat? You know, that has its own sea of challenges. But what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I think let's recognize that if you're talking about, you know, clients and projects, it's a little bit more challenging to be doing this when we can't be together in one place. So, you know, sort of going back to the old mainstay of communication, you know, we're telling our project teams, make sure we're getting, you know, that we're pulling together now multiple times a week, sometimes every day, just to make sure that people are connecting. And that communication wants to include the client. We want to make sure we're talking to our client on a very regular basis. We want to understand what their situation is, because like ours, their situation is also changing rapidly. And we want to understand what they need. And because, again, because their needs are also changing. So because we ask them today doesn't mean that a week or two down the line, those things haven't changed. And so let's stay in contact with our clients, even if it's just to say, "Hey, how you doing? You know, what's going on? How can we help? What do you need?" Those things go a long way. You know, they're trying to maintain their focus as well. So we want to continue to find ways to support their projects, to support their initiatives, to navigate through these challenges, even if we have to, as I talked earlier, maybe take a different road or go a little bit out of what a normal sequence would be. But let's make sure that we're doing what we can do to support them, to advance their projects, to help them get through this, to continue to show value. You know, in the big picture, you know, by continuing to show value, by continuing to support our clients, it makes it easier for them to continue to keep us engaged with them. And it makes it easier for them to continue to pay for design services. And I think, you know, we're in a world where we have financial challenges, we're going to have cash flow challenges. So, you know, being valuable and being relevant and being of service, you know, it not only does it help from a marketing and business development perspective, it helps the financial position as well. because if our clients continue to pay us, then we can continue to meet our obligations, to take care of our staff, and to be able to continue to serve them. And then, Jeff, we've got to also pivot and start thinking about life after COVID-19 and help our clients work through that, you know, trends, worker expectations, adapting and preparing. And you can look at just a couple of examples that I think most of us can understand. You know, the education institutions, the institutions of higher education, they often will use larger lecture halls, right? They'll bring hundreds of people into a space, and that space will be infused with technology, and they'll have a professor or sometimes more than one talk to a large group of people. And we went very quickly from that to an online platform. And the question is, are we going to go right back to the large gatherings like we had before, or is there going to be something else? Are we going to be maybe looking at more of a hybrid? Are we going to be looking at maybe smaller groups, more online or remote learning? I tend to think that we will to some degree. And so, there's an opportunity for us to work through some of these issues with our clients to be able to help them understand what's possible, what options they have, how their spaces, how their facilities, how their systems can support different types of learning, things that maybe we haven't seen, but we will see. And I think, likewise, we're seeing it in offices all across the country. Newer offices see, a lot of benching of staff. They see collaboration spaces. They see social spaces built around people coming together, sometimes planned, sometimes spontaneous, because, idea generation and innovation happens when people come together in groups. Well, when we go back, are we going to feel the same way? Are we going to expect a little bit more distance between individuals? Are we going to gather the way that we did before? And I expect, again, that there are going to be some changes in sensibilities and expectations. And this is an opportunity for us to work with our clients to talk about how space can be reimagined, because we now know some new things. We've experienced something altogether. People are thinking differently. And how can we respond with systems, with space, to get people comfortable and to create productive spaces in a new world where there's a new way of thinking, and we've got to be able to address the now, but also pivot towards what's coming and have those conversations with our clients.
Absolutely, and it's an interesting time because it's a challenge, but at the same time, as you mentioned, looking towards a post-COVID-19 reality, there's also opportunity here where you can help your firms, help your clients rather, look to the future and uncover or try to figure out what they might need addressing this new world. It's one of those old, I guess, the old adage where, in the midst of crisis, there's opportunity. And it's really important for firms to look at how can we grow, how can we change, how can we adapt to this new reality we find ourselves in. And that kind of ties right into the way that leaders need to be managing the actual business side of the firm to position themselves so that they can emerge out of this crisis, not just whole, but potentially with a new opportunity for business growth. How do you manage that side of things, the actual management side of, the keeping the lights on and the business afloat kind of situation in a situation like this?
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to remember, it's okay to think, to think that we're in crisis mode, but let's not forget to run our business the way that we know how. We have to continue to run our businesses because we will get through this, and to your point. So number one is let's, let's remember that we are problem solvers, right? We are methodical thinkers. This is what we do for our clients. This is what we do every day. And let's take a step back. And number one, we know that our world has changed. Our financial picture, our revenue, our workload. Let's model what we believe is happening. And to the best of our ability, so let's see what we believe the impacts are, and let's build a plan that we can implement to begin to get us through. Let's align the organization to the new reality, and that means, let's focus on clients and projects. I unfortunately feel terrible about saying this, but we have to make adjustments in our organization and in our staffing. In order to align with the work that our clients are bringing us in the projects that we have, let's curtail non-essential initiatives and investments. Let's make sure that we're focusing really on the core business, on our projects, on our clients, and less on some of the other things. And remember, Jeff, in these circumstances, it's better because there's so much uncertainty, it's better to overreact a little bit than it is to underreact. If you overreact and you've got to pull back a little bit early, and let go of some things that were done, that's fine. That's easy to ease up a little bit. But if you underreact, then you end up in a mode where you're constantly trying to catch up to what's happening to you. And it's very difficult to be in that situation. So, my advice there is to take decisive action. We don't exactly know what's coming. We don't have a crystal ball, but take decisive action and hope that we can, that we can retreat from that sooner than later. But if you wait too long, you sometimes pay a price for doing it. And then I think head on, you've got to address the immediate challenge. And for most of us, it's cash flow. So let's make sure that we are taking advantage of the stimulus funding that's been made available to us. Let's make sure we're utilizing our lines of credit, effectively and appropriately. If we have cash reserves, is now the time to begin to think about using those. Ask for relief for some of you, the larger expenses. It might be rent, it might be insurance, but see if there's an opportunity to get some sort of a relief. This is something that we're all going through, and I think what people may find is that our creditors are more open to working with us than maybe we think they are, because one of the things they're experiencing, people are just, they've just stopped paying their bills. Mm-hmm. They've just stopped. And if you're approached and say, listen, I want to continue paying, but can we modify the schedule a little bit? Is there some way we can get some near-term relief? You might be surprised at how many people would be open to a discussion like that. In fact, I would tell you, with respect to expenses, ask for deferment for as much as you can get to shore up your cash position today. You don't know if you don't ask.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially in this world, everybody's in that situation.
Oh, for sure. Continue to adhere to what has worked. We have proven processes and procedures for planning projects, coordinating, quality assurance, for monitoring the performance of our work, for business development and marketing, strategic hires that may advance the organization. We should continue to run our business and continue to adhere to those proven processes that got us here. We should still do the things we know lead to success, continue to do them. For sure, we're doing them differently. We're doing them remotely. We're doing them through technology, but that doesn't mean we have to abandon what we know works. And then I would tell you, start planning for a return to normality, and share that with the staff. Let your people know that you are looking ahead to when things return to normal, and this isn't the way it's going to be in perpetuity, or we aren't stuck in the mud right here. We have to work our way out of this, but there is a future for our firms and for our industry. And we need to prepare, for our offices to accommodate people again. We have to prepare for new ways of working, and let's bring our people into that discussion, and not forget about strategy and planning. You said earlier, you talked about a circumstance like this and opportunities that are born out of it, and there is no question that opportunities will emerge. What are they? What are the sectors that will recover the fastest? How can I use resources I may have today that are underutilized to build capabilities in new sectors? Mm-hmm. How can I leverage where we are today to prepare myself for the opportunities to come? And those are the things, besides helping our businesses and our organizations prepare, those are also the things that will help keep our people engaged. It'll give them rallying points. You don't want to think about all of the challenges and all of the negative things all day long. It's also nice to look ahead and think about some of the opportunities and the positive things that will come. And so let's make sure we aren't losing sight of that, and that we're talking about those things too.
Yeah, absolutely. All extremely good points and good information for business leaders and those leaders who are, on that ladder towards management or executive management. And it's an interesting time. It's a challenging time. There is opportunity to be found, but I think taking into consideration everything that we talked about, it's just that leadership that is boiled down to being open, being engaged, and being transparent, looking for opportunities, making the tough decisions. That's really what will drive companies forward. Hopefully, this does end rather soon so we can get back to the normal business at hand. But without question, one way or another, we're going to be changed definitely because of this pandemic. And the industry is going to have to adapt to it. Hopefully we have leaders who are taking these steps and taking this advice to heart so that the industry can come out of it stronger than stronger because of it.
Our industry has been blessed with strong leadership for decades and decades. And I think we know, those who have been through these kinds of situations before, let's say the Great Recession of 2009, 2010, they know we're going to get through this. And they know that we've got to do what we need to do now. We've got to take the actions we need to take to make sure that we get through. But, the sun will shine again. And we will be back doing the things that we do. To your point, we may be doing things differently. There may be a different environment, and we need to be mindful of that. Our industry is ever changing and ever evolving, but we'll get there if we do the things we know we need to do to get through. To get to the future, we've got to take care of today.
Absolutely.
And if we do that, we'll be okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, again, it's been a fantastic bunch of insights from you, Michael, on leadership, and this is a great topic, and I want to revisit it, hopefully under clearer skies and more normal operations than what we find ourselves in right now. But I really appreciate the time and the thoughts that you have on this subject. It's just great to have them, and hope that you stay safe, stay healthy, and that your firm is comes out thriving and poised to take on whatever comes next.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope the same for you, and I very much look forward to speaking again when we are maybe through this and on to the other side.
Absolutely. Well, I will see you virtually this Saturday, maybe at the board meeting. And
you will. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yes, that'll be interesting. Hopefully sooner rather than later in person. So Michael Cooper.
No, again, I hope so.
Michael Cooper, he's great on multiple levels. He's a great leader, and his insights on leadership are wonderful to hear. Really thank him for being on the show again today, and we will see you next time on our next edition of Engineering Excellence from the American Council of Engineering Companies.
Engineering has gone social. Join the conversation with ACEC on the leading social networking platforms, including Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Search for ACEC National or link directly off of our website at www.acec.org.